Hello, everyone, and welcome to Season 5 of Goddamn GameCube. If you like our show, please leave us a rating on Spotify and subscribe on YouTube. Thank you, and enjoy today's episode. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Goddamn GameCube. Greg and Riley are your hosts today, and we are finishing off our Gears of War retrospective with Gears of War 4 and Gears 5. They dropped the whole title. Riley, take it away. There's some good, there's some bad, there's some ugly. Let's get into all of it.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
Good way to put it. So Gears of War 4, we're getting into the final stretch here, folks. Published by Microsoft and developed by very similarly to Halo, they created this company, the Coalition, to manage the brand, I guess, to manage the franchise. Whereas previously it was Epic, it's now the Coalition. They their first thing was the Gears Ultimate Edition, which was the refreshening of the first game, very similarly to how 343 Industries started with Halo. And something I found out, they also made that, remember that Matrix tech demo from a couple of years ago? It just made me really want a Matrix game, but it's like they did it because I guess Gears is always running on the Unreal engine.
Yeah, sure.
So I guess it's all under the same umbrella.
Okay.
It was a very technically impressive demo, but
Sorry, man, we got Gears 4 and 5 instead.
We gotta do this instead. This came out in 2016. Which is really funny because I feel like I knew it was coming out and then it was just out and I was like, oh, that came out?
You know what's funny? I think intern Nick got me Gears of War 4 as a Christmas present in 2016.
Really?
I just didn't play it.
Really?
I specifically remember playing a few chapters of it, not even a complete act, and then kind of putting it down.
Yeah.
So because of goddamn GameCube, I found myself dusting it off and finishing the whole thing. So keep going.
I don't know what it is, but it just kept sitting on the digital shelf, as it were. I'm like, I've played half of this series. I let it go. I need to catch up and see what's going on, you know? So this came out in 2016. It is set 25 years after Gears of War 3. Picks up with a whole new cast of characters who need to contend with the legacy of Marcus and the Locust. And so where we're at in the broader story is that the COG, the Coalition of Ordered Governments, have reorganized into walled cities while outsiders live in the wilds outside of their jurisdiction.
And don't call them stranded anymore.
They're not stranded anymore. They're definitely not the First Order. They're not even like the Galactic Empire. They're the First Order now.
They're just rebranded. God.
Christ. But no, there are a couple. You know what? I'll make another Star Wars comparison here. There's this phenomenon I'd like to clue you in on, where this post went viral a couple years ago about Star Wars fans will see a trailer or a new movie and say, oh my God, Glup Shitto is back. Because it's always like, something really, the names always sound really stupid.
Yes.
And it's like getting excited about something I recognize, right?
Yeah.
I would say that this game has a lot of very successful Glup Shitto moments for the Gears of War series.
Interesting. Okay.
It's very much, what I find odd about it is that it feels like a legacy sequel to Gears of War, but it only came out like 5 years after the previous one.
Doesn't it feel like a lot of time went by before Gears of War 4, but not really?
But not really.
Yeah.
It's a weird kind of time warp that happened with this game.
I think, oh man, I'm going to make a statement right now. I think video games sort of passed Gears of War by a little bit.
Yeah, no, completely.
Yeah.
Same thing with Halo. It's just like, you want more of this thing, you know, for better or worse.
Can I make another statement?
Yeah.
Do you know what happened in 2011 through 2016? I just played a lot of Dark Souls games. And then Gears of War 4 came out. I didn't care.
Yeah. You know what it is? I think if it maybe another 5 to 10 years had passed by, I'd be like, I'm ready to fuck with more Gears. As we'll get into, I think there are some good qualities, bad qualities in these games. Number one, as far as gameplay changes, I think this is incredibly profound. Now 25 years on, there's this new phenomenon happening called the wind flares. And what is so funny about this is it affects gameplay. So it's basically the way it manifests as it will fuck with it. So the wind starts picking up. So your bullet drop will be different, and throwing grenades is different. Physics is just different.
The wind will take your grenades and toss them.
Right. And then when it peaks, there's these big lightning strikes that come down. And what I think is so funny about this is it is such an apt metaphor for climate change, because nobody in the game realizes what it caused it. And not even on the Gears of War wiki do they talk about this. It's fucking clearly because they use the Hammer of Dawn too much.
Right.
It looks identical.
Right.
And everyone's like, oh, I don't know why this started happening.
Because they ripped holes in the atmosphere.
The fucking answer is right in front of their face that they're not getting it.
Wow, that's very profound.
It's so funny.
Wow.
But I like that they started adding stuff like that into these. There are now a cover-based attacks, which I like, where you can, it's a lot more fluid. Hurtling over cover, you can just grab a guy from right there. I think that's really cool.
Yep.
What I really like about this game is the sandbox is I think even better with all these new weapons. Apparently, because these civilizations are rebuilding, there was a lot of like repurposed construction equipment kind of stuff going on. So let's do our thumbs up, thumbs down on these.
Yeah? Sure.
The buzzkill, you know this one?
I actually like this weapon, but when a wind flare happens, I think it's
useless.
It's useless, but I also think interesting how the wind will curve the blades.
Yes.
It's interesting.
I call it the dead space weapon.
Oh, go like the plasma cutter.
Yeah, because it just cuts the guys right apart. It just shoots saws at people, right?
Yeah.
The drop shot.
It's kind of like the digger, right?
I think it's better.
Yeah.
And I think it's just a little hard to get a sense of, because it's immediately what I think is interesting about all these weapons versus what many series struggle with in terms of broadening their palettes. These weapons for the first time mess with the pull and release of the trigger.
Yes.
So with a drop shot, you hold it down and then you release it when you want it to bury into, it's like a projectile that launches a bomb into the earth, right?
Yep.
There's also the railgun sniper rifle where you have to release it at the right time.
Not my favorite. The Embar.
Yeah.
Embar is a Pokemon. Yeah.
Yes. There's the overkill, which is the shotgun. And it's like, if you know what you're doing with that thing,
cool.
You can really wreck house with it. Cause you're just getting two shotgun blasts per pull essentially. What I thought was very interesting was what they changed to the machine gun in this game, where it starts out with three barrels and then as it overheats, it goes down to two and then one,
mm-hmm.
and it changes based on that. There's some others that don't really make a dent, like the rocket launcher, salvo rocket launcher. It was just kind of there.
Yeah. Do you know what's interesting though? Did you notice how they changed the rhythm of active reloading?
How
did you
so?
Notice this?
I don't think
where
so.
The active reload, it's very the rhythm of it is quite different in Gears of War 4. You can actually watch your character reload the weapon and hit it at that time.
So it's in tandem.
It's essentially the little bar that runs across the screen is in tandem with the animation of your character actually reloading it, so it's all much slower.
Wow.
It's interesting.
That's cool. And so I did want to mention that they played dumb in the pre-release, like, oh, you're not going to be fighting the locust this time. Of course, it's this
LOL.
This gives way. But what I find interesting is the DBs in this game, the robots. That's a whole new kind of, because it's something I think there's a lot of goofus and gallant with this in Halo, where Halo also introduced robots into the story in 4. And it just didn't work for me at all.
These robots, unfortunately, they feel the same way for me that like Lambent do in 3, where they're not as fun to kill because you don't get the gore satisfaction.
Not quite. I think they're better than the Lambent, though.
They are.
For sure. And they have a little bit more variety. And
should we talk about why they're called DBs, or should that be later?
No, that's later.
That's
later. I think that's actually very good.
Yeah, me too.
But they have a couple different classes of enemy. And then, of course, you're more or less fighting the locust again, right?
Yeah, and it's
I don't get why. Number one, I think they're worse than the locust in this game. In both 4 and 5, they just call them the swarm.
Yeah,
and from what I remember, like from Gears of War 1 release footage, it was like the locust swarm. So you're just dropping locust. Just it's the Facebook.
Yeah, I mean, and in Gears of War 5, they get rid of of War. It's just Gears 5.
That's true. They're making it cleaner.
Trying to tighten up the marketing, I guess.
Oh my goodness. No, I just think they're not as iconic.
No, I feel like there's definitely a problem with enemy variety in this game.
This one in particular, for sure. Having the old Locust be the new Boomers is stupid.
Yeah.
Because that's something that I think was a strength of the previous games, is how... something I didn't bring up is that you have a great deal of enemy variety amongst the Locusts, and I find it really disturbing that the more monstery ones, they look kind of the same as the human-y ones. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's a little weird, and they always have these like mind control helmets on, like, the monsters,
strange, right?
And stuff. It's kind of interesting, but I felt like they were very samey. All the enemies
were
very samey, except for... Well, so you got that. You basically have wretches again, but they call them juvies, which is stupid.
Yeah.
And I thought that the design of the more monstery ones was just a little too far.
Sure.
Like, I'm talking about like the pouncers and the snatchers and
there
all
isn't
that
enough
shit.
Enemy variety. And these are bullet sponge enemies, and it's really annoying.
And they just look like aliens to me.
Yes.
You know, I don't inherently reject the idea of like the Locust evolving or like new stuff happening, but it just didn't look...
It doesn't feel quite right to me, right?
Yeah.
It just kind of feels like a grotesque creature.
Yeah.
It doesn't really feel like it's
like
connected.
Like a Locust creature.
Yeah.
You know? And a big problem I have mechanically with the game is how much it relies on the fabricator segments.
Oof. Yeah, this is a big down thumb for me. Absolutely.
I think it happens 3 times in the campaign, right?
Do you remember, it was in a previous Gears episode, I said how too much of the Horde gameplay is making its way into single player?
Yeah.
That's very prevalent in this.
I would say this is the what I think of when you say that.
A Judgment, they did it a lot, and I very much dislike it. And
I don't know... why it's like, I don't want to be playing Horde right now. I want to be playing
I think the good word for it is, let me be more succinct, there's too much, why is this a tower defense game now?
Yeah.
It's so really weird.
To sum it up, if you haven't played this game, the Fabricator is this device where you spend like some kind of currency to create defenses and weapons.
Yeah, you like essentially defend a place by putting up
this 3D fences. Printer.
Yeah, you're using a 3D printer to put up fences and turrets, and it feels like you're doing a tower defense multiplayer game in single player.
If they had done it once, it would have been like, okay, well,
I thought
that
was
different.
Were going to do it once when it's a part of the story.
Right.
Then I would have been fine with it. Like, okay, whatever.
And it's kind of like showing you this is how this mode works in multiplayer if you're interested.
Yeah,
right?
Maybe.
But I just felt like very much broke it up. But that's another mechanical thing. Getting to aesthetic stuff, I think it looks and performs great. You mentioned the animations of the reloading.
Yeah, you and I were talking about this off mic. I think it's funny, I was kind of disparaging the game. But what I said to you was, after disparaging the game, what I said to you was, what does impress me about Gears of War 4 and 5 is how specific and individually animated every action is.
Yeah.
If you beat down a door is locked and you can either beat it down with a gun or chainsaw it, every individual weapon has its own animation.
Right.
Or if you're going to roadie run with a weapon, your character is going to hold that weapon differently and every weapon's individualized.
Right.
It's cool. They did they dedicated time mm-hmm. to making each animation distinct.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very, very thoughtful. And, I think they do some really creative, I know we kind of disparage the executions, but some of them are really cool on these.
Yeah.
With the new, because every weapon now has a unique one. It all looks great. Something else I wanted to bring up that I immediately respected is that there is like period and faction correct weaponry for the first time. Like, you see, like, the frag grenades in the old games are all Locust grenades, and they show you, like, they go back into the past at one point and they show COG frag grenades. They have, like, in the future, they have the DB ones and stuff like that.
Yep.
It's all like very kind of lore friendly in that way. How do you feel about the look of this game in general, like in terms of how they freshen things up and stuff like that?
I would say, like, to the game's credit, the aesthetic qualities of Gears of War 4, and we'll talk about 5 later, are it's high.
Yes.
I think the production value is high
in
these games, for sure. They got that Microsoft check.
Yes.
For sure.
It just... I'm thinking about how ugly like Halo 5 looked in places, and it's just like, what happened, man? You know?
Exactly.
Maybe they learned from that. Very brief voice acting performance review. You're rolling your eyes.
Go ahead.
Liam McIntyre as JD.
I think it's, I actually think he's a little bit better in the genuine moments.
Yeah.
I think he's a little bit worse when they ask him to do the Gears thing. Can you like be funny or tough or kill someone and say something ironic?
Yeah.
I think it's, it gets worse.
Right.
Like, I just think he's better when he's genuine.
No, I agree with that. Yeah. And I think he's better in this game than the next one.
Yeah.
Laura Bailey as Kate Diaz.
I didn't realize it was Laura Bailey.
It is her, yes. Not our friend, but
that's funny. That's not that we wouldn't be friends with this Laura Bailey. Of course. Not the Laura Bailey we know.
Yes.
That's a good question. I think I have more problems with her script than I do like with her actual performance. I think it's actually fine.
I'll say I think it teeters. Eugene Bird as Del Walker. I think his character gets a little too cartoony at times. I think what I was expecting from these games, which didn't quite have, it kind of did, but not to the extent I was expecting, is the sort of Avengerification of the dialogue. Like, guys, you know, like very self-aware and poking fun at, oh, that just happened. You know, that kind of thing.
I think it strides a little bit too close to Mass Effect Andromeda for me.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And it's
same year.
Ooh, it is.
I think.
Holy smokes. Here's a big one for me. Jimmy Smits as Oscar Diaz.
What do you think? What's your take?
I couldn't believe it when I heard him.
Really?
I mean, I'm just excited to hear. I don't think the character is very good, but I think Jimmy Smits is really funny.
Yeah.
As a guy, he understands the role. Justina Machado as Reyna Diaz.
You don't see she doesn't do a lot.
Not in this one.
It's okay. It's fine.
And lastly, Angel Desai as First Minister Jin.
Honestly, I think this is more to do with like, I just don't really like the character.
Sure.
I think their performance is totally fine.
Okay. All right. So I'm ready to get into the story.
Yeah,
if you are.
Sure. Might as well.
So speaking of First Minister Jin, she is the new kind of head of the cog. And the game begins with like an exposition dump of kind of catching you up on everything. And like she's doing like this television broadcast and very old Colonel Hoffman is there at the awards ceremony and stuff. And I actually liked this intro quite a lot.
You took the words out of my mouth. I actually think this is one of the better parts of the game when you have to do very small flashback segments.
Yes.
You play as a generic Carmine kind of character at times, which is cool.
The very first one is the Civil War between humans, and you see a very young Dom. Which is cool.
Yes.
It's a little cameo there. And I think the second one is the beginning of the Locust War.
Yes.
And the third one is the end of it.
Yeah.
So you get the three kind of different eras. And what is interesting about this is you're noticing an undercurrent of kind of subterfuge about Dom has to do this secret operation. He's not telling you what it is. And other cogs are laying down their lives for this secret to be upheld or whatever, right? So that's kind of how it starts. And Act One it starts out with the main characters kind of messing around out in the wild, right?
Yep.
So it's your main crew, JD, Kate, Del, and Kate's uncle Oscar. And they are like the, you think this is going to be the squad, right, for the game?
Yeah.
And it's you basically you're trying to steal this fabricator
from a cog base.
And I think it's a very clever lore thing that the cog mostly uses like robot labor now. It just makes sense for where you are in the story and everything. And so
it's actually a really clever workaround for you not having to kill the good guys, quote unquote. You don't have to kill other humans. It's
right.
Robots.
Yeah. And it's also I think this is a better version of Star Wars, The Phantom Menace, where, you know, it's a little more innocent when you're fighting robots than, you know, you're not quite chainsawing dudes just yet. It eases you into it, you know. I think so you get this fabricator and you bring it back to their village, like the stranded village or whatever. And Kate's mother, Reyna, is like the chief, right? And they get attacked by these mysterious creatures.
Ooh.
Right? Well, there's some beef with Jin, Yes, Jin is like running the robot show.
Yeah.
And she's like, you need to join the cog or get fucked.
Yeah, essentially.
but the village gets like kidnapped and you guys are the only people who are left.
Yeah, like so Kate's mom gets kidnapped, right? Reyna.
Yes. Oscar. And I think that's the first
That's
act.
Like the main plot point.
Right.
Yeah.
And act two, I think, would be maybe my vote for the strongest.
Sure.
So JD is like, we could go get help from my dad, I guess. And they don't tell you at first. And of course, who is it?
It's Marcus.
It's our guy. But what I thought was really interesting about this was how it built up to it, where it's nighttime, there's nobody around. And you're going up to this very old estate, and when you walk up to the gate, you find Anya's grave.
Yeah,
and it's like, oh shit, because it's, you know, she didn't have a huge amount to do in the previous games, but it's kind of like what I'm getting from what I got from these last couple games is, man, like Marcus just loses fucking everybody.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
This guy is so fucking
miserable.
Yeah,
he's kind of the Ellie of this franchise.
Yes,
right? Yeah.
Yes, very, very long suffering. But I thought this was awesome how you don't see a Lancer until it's in his hands.
Yeah, very
it's
cool.
Very, very iconic. It's
almost kind of a Resident Evil 2 moment where you get the cog armor, you get the weapons, but you have to get them from Marcus.
That's great. I thought that was, it was a great glove.
It's probably one of
moment.
The stronger moments of the game. I think you're right.
And he chainsaws the robot in half.
Yep.
It's great stuff. And I will say this, we drug the vehicle segments of the previous games through the mud. I think this game has two and they're both good.
Okay.
I like the motorcycle one a lot.
Oh yeah.
It's very, just, you know why it is? Because it plays fine.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just,
and
like,
it's easy.
It's like the plane is in front of you dropping robots and bombs and shit on you and you got to avoid it. I thought it was fun.
Yeah.
So act three is where they introduce the new Locust. And I feel like this is kind of like, this area, like, it picks up at the end, but this, like, acts three and four are kind of my low point.
Yeah.
Where they introduce like the new Locust, the swarm, and I think it's handled pretty well, where they kind of drip them in slowly, but like we said, the enemy variety isn't a lot, so they end up retreading encounters.
Becomes a little bit of a slog.
Yeah. But what I think is cool about this part is how Marcus gets abducted.
Yeah. By what they call snatchers.
Yes. And because I was like, no, they're not going to kill him, are they?
I thought they were going
to
kill him.
I thought for a second, but I think it's to the game's credit that they don't.
Yeah.
And this whole segment becomes about rescuing him.
Yes.
Right? And you get him out. And he's essentially your fourth squad mate, which is a genius idea.
Yeah.
And you're right. It's just very repetitive as you're going through these sections. I think it is cool that you can get abducted yourself. It just happens way too much.
I especially if you're playing on harder difficulties, like, you're really relying on your partner AI to save you,
and in any of these games it's not great.
So I think the snatchers are really just bullet sponges. It's cool how when they down you, they essentially put you in their belly.
Yeah, and you just see the outside of their body, and your squad mates have to rescue you.
Yeah, it's a cool idea. It just doesn't work out great.
Yeah. So that's unfortunate. Once you're kind of coming out of that experience, like act four is kind of getting out of that mine or that nest or whatever. And it's what something else that I thought was great about this is when you're down there, it says like, so you're trying to figure out like, why would they come out of this chasm or whatever? And Marcus is like, oh, because we pushed and buried all the Locust bodies down there. And it's like, so that it's this mass grave.
Yes.
And he's like, we tried burning them. We couldn't because it's toxic to the atmosphere. Like, there's always these little, like, in this game in particular, I felt there was a lot more thought put into why things are happening.
Yeah, the why.
And I think it's very funny because it's exactly what we would do, is that there's a big pile of Locust guns when you get down there.
Yes.
And he's like, yeah, we just threw all of them down there too. Like, there was no attempt to melt them down.
No, just fucking
throw them down.
Mass grave, fuck it.
So, but that's where you get your bolt dock back and stuff
fuck
like
yeah.
that. But I thought that was very thoughtful. Basically, I think the crux of the end of this game is looking for Reyna, Kate's mother. And, What what winds up happening here is you call in for help, and you find our guys are still at it, Cole and Baird.
Yep.
And do you want to talk about this reveal here? I think it's very clever.
Yeah, about the robot reveal.
Yeah.
So I think what's really funny is throughout the whole game, you keep calling the robot enemies DBs.
Yep.
They're actually called Damon Bairds.
Yeah.
Which is very
funny.
They're
named after him.
They're named after him because he made them.
It's incredibly clever.
He's like the Geppetto of
yes.
this.
Yes. And something else that I think is really funny is how he now looks, he's lost all his hair and he looks exactly like Marcus's dad.
Yeah.
So it's adding a whole other layer to their relationship.
It's like, Marcus and Baird are now what, 20 years older ish?
25 years older. Yeah. But, it's really, and Cole is barely aged a day. He's still, still got the kick. But you hated this and I thought it was fun.
Oh, so yeah, there's this weird mystical ninja part where you become a mech.
That's not a ninja part.
No, I said no. I'm specifically referring to Mystical Ninja, the N64 game where you there's a mech part.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Very similar.
Oh, interesting.
It's very similar.
Okay.
If you know my reference, just comment.
Yeah, Mystical Ninja. Interesting.
Yeah, very specific. I thought this was really weird how you have to run around as a mech and you can take cover as a mech. It's really weird, but I liked it.
The thing about it is that it's not long. It's the very end of the game, and the gameplay is identical to when you're on the ground. And for that reason, I think this is a success. I think it's a great kind of... Because, what the problem is that I really struggle with... We talked about Devil May Cry 5 very briefly, where how they keep throwing new shit at you. It's like, how do you make the end of a game feel fresh, but in a way that doesn't feel like a curveball? Here's this thing you weren't prepared, like
or just more tutorials.
Little Nightmares 2, how that ends. Like, you weren't prepared for this, right?
Yep.
I think it's a great way around that, where you're basically doing the same thing that you were.
You're now just a huge robot.
On a macro level, you know? And I don't think the boss fight is very good.
Yeah.
But I think it's fun that you ended as a giant robot. I think it's fun that, Baird is behind all this.
Yeah.
And it's just like the whole thing made so much more sense than I was expecting.
I think that's something to the game's credit. I was actually telling you this in the chat. It was not my favorite game to play.
Right.
Like, I was kind of slogging it out for most of it.
Yeah.
I will at least say it makes more sense, and this quote-unquote sequel franchise is better taken care of than Halo, if you ask me.
Yeah, definitely. And it struggles with some of the same things, but it is interesting, and they kind of leave it just on that. I mean, well, her mother dies. She has to cut her down from the...
Essentially, you're kind of given a scene where, Raina, Kate's mom, is almost, tied into the Locust network via, her veins in her arms or something. And so, essentially, by cutting her down, she dies.
Yeah.
So, but Kate ends up cutting her mother down, and the game ends.
Right.
Kind of unexpected ending. I thought there'd be more.
Yeah. But that's really it, and leaving the door open for, as we know, Gears 5.
And Raina gives Kate a Locust medallion or a Locust necklace.
Yeah, she says, this was my mother's, and she flips it over at the end, and that's the big... And that's another thing, another Star Wars comparison here. I think this game did that plot beat better than Star Wars, where you are hinting that the heroine is the granddaughter of the evil emperor, and you're doing it in the very first one.
Yep.
So you have not that they go into interesting territory with it, but it's better served here where it's setting it up.
You get the breadcrumb.
Right. So getting into the conclusions for Gears 4 here, would you like to give a grade here?
Oof. This is tricky. This is another tricky one for me. I'm tempted to say C+ again, but I think it makes more sense than I thought it would. So I'm tempted to say B-.
Okay.
How do you feel?
I'm going to go with a B.
You know what? I'll say B- if you go B.
Yeah. Cause it's a solid game. I think the story is structured very well. It has those glup shit-o moments, dripping old gears stuff into it. I think it's just a very thoughtful, reboot, kind of.
And I like playing it more than 3.
Yes.
Like Judgment and 3. I like playing... I guess that's to the game's credit. This other company is now making Gears of War, and I like it a little better.
Yes. So that's kind of the through line that I... It's like a pleasant surprise, right? I thought these were going to be like shit.
That's actually a good... you know what? Actually, I think that's a good word for this.
Yeah.
A pleasant surprise.
So I'm going to go with a B on this one. And, story-wise, I think it's in a good place, but it feels like these moments for me, I don't know how you feel, but if when a long-running thing has a really good period, right, and it's like they've been through some shit and they have a comeback, it's always a little bittersweet for me. Because I know it's not going to last. Like, yeah. History has told me, like, enjoy it in the moment because the next one is
enjoy the comeback album because there's going to be another one.
Weezer White album. But it's tough for me because I think the next game is also good. We're going to get into Gears 5. I don't really like the direction of the story, but you know, we're gonna hash it all out here.
Yeah, so we want to jump right into Gears 5.
Let's do it.
I think if I were to put the hooks in, I would say I enjoyed this game other than the weird Prince of Persia seeing through time moments.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. But yeah. I was surprised at how much I liked this.
Yeah.
I'll be frank with you. I thought this game was going to suck.
Really?
Like, when I saw all the marketing for this, when the marketing director, I forget his name, said, oh, we cut out the title. It's just Gears 5 now. It's not Gears of War 5 because people don't even say the full title. I'm like, so that means you're just going to change the title? I don't get that.
Right.
You just let it have a nickname? I don't understand this. And then again, it's having a cover-based shooter in 2019. Also, you and I were playing this within the past month or two,
mm-hmm.
and I was shocked at how recently this game came out.
Yes.
2019. Also, having a cover-based shooter in 2019, like also playing it in 2023, I don't know. But I actually really liked it. So keep
started. I think it feels a lot more solid than I was expecting. A lot more solid than its peers in like the first person market right now. Again, developed by the Coalition, but this time published by Xbox Game Studios. I guess they farmed it out. So this is a few months after Gears of War 4. And Gears 5 sort of continues that story with the Swarm coming out and the efforts of the new COG to defeat them. So a couple things they did differently this time. I wanted to say I'm very surprised at how well the stealth worked.
Yeah, I didn't think we would have stealth segments in Gears of War, but it actually kind of works.
Somehow. It's like, you know, you're behind cover and they haven't detected you yet. Because it's a very, like, shooty, blasty franchise, you know?
And it's just inoffensive enough where I think it's okay.
Yes. And this is sort of supplanted by... there's a cloaking ability... There's a whole bunch of stuff you can do thanks to now Jack, the robot from the first game, is with you.
Now, can we actually talk about this part of the game like right now?
Yeah.
Do you mind?
Yeah.
I actually think having this... Gears of War has never had an upgrade system before. It's always been, you got your guns, it's time to shoot dudes.
Yes.
Now there's a little bit of a drip-drip progression system, and I actually like it.
Yeah.
I thought I would not like it.
Right.
But Jack essentially has become your skill wheel.
Right.
And I really enjoyed this, you have to find essentially little upgrade points for Jack scattered around the world.
Yeah.
And you can pick little skill trees for him to be better at, and he kind of... You trigger his skills for him, and mm-hmm. I think it's good.
Yeah.
What do you think?
No, I think it's great. I think maybe they could have cut out some of the stuff.
You think they... I actually used almost everything.
I used almost everything, but like some of the upgrades to the abilities I felt were kind of superfluous.
Yeah, that's true.
Especially because what I really like about it is that you can respec him just on the fly, and then... Something I really like about this skill tree is that you don't have to invest in earlier stuff that isn't as useful to you.
You can skip.
Like, you can just go to the end and put 12 points into whatever.
You can save up.
Yeah. It's great. And all the abilities were very useful. Do you want to talk about any that were useful?
Sure. Like, I also, what I really liked about the abilities is you got a little bit of freedom to manipulate them how you want.
Yeah.
Example, like, there are a few, like, some of them are more straightforward. If you stealth, you're invisible.
Right.
Cool. But what I thought was really neat was there was a stim ability,
mm-hmm.
but stim can be used in multiple purposes. Let's say you go down in combat, you can use the stim skill and Jack will pick you up.
Right.
That's cool. You can also pick up your allies with it.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also use stim as a stopgap healing method. If you're in full red health and you want to stim yourself to 100,
right.
you can. So, but they don't really explain that to you, but
yeah.
you can kind of figure it out on your own.
Yeah.
There's a lot of cool stuff.
I think also You can upgrade Jack to just go out and do it, like, without using the stim and stuff like that. He has a lot more. You can go send him into events and stuff to go grab weapons.
Yeah,
and
you can send Jack, like, let's say you kill a big enemy who drops a big weapon. You can send Jack to retrieve it.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
And, you know, he has his own, like, cloaking system and health to manage and all that shit. But I did find it interesting that I kind of wish that, like, we had played it together or something, because apparently one player can play as Jack.
That's
and do
awesome.
This stuff.
We should have co-opted some of these.
Yeah. Maybe some of the better ones we can go back and do. But I did find it to be, it's like they haven't had anything like this before, and it's very
I'm very skeptical of progression systems in modern AAA games, because they're typically real-life money pits.
Yes.
Or microtransactions. And what I was pleasantly surprised by Gears of War 5. I didn't think I wanted a progression system in Gears of War. I almost wanted more of it.
Right.
Like, I thought, ooh, are there going to be, like, armor upgrades or something? Like, what I think is cool is, because you're upgrading Jack, quote unquote, and you're not upgrading you, the game stays grounded in realism. You're not upgrading...
a little bit.
Wait, what I'm saying is, you're not upgrading Kate's physical abilities. You're the same.
Yeah.
But it's Jack, because he's a robot. So they're able to fit it into the universe a little.
Yeah. And, like, you're finding components. That's another... I mentioned in one of the previous episodes that I like finding the cog tag. I don't know why they don't have them anymore, but there's the cog tags, and this is a very welcome upgrade pickup, too, because it has a utility to it.
Yeah, of course.
So that's great. And you mentioned finding in the world. There are some open world segments in this game. What do you think about those?
The joke I made to you immediately is, this is God of War 2018 Gears of War.
Yeah. Right?
It's exactly the same.
Very similar.
I shouldn't say exactly. It's close.
Very similar. And it's odd, because this came out very close.
Very close.
And this was before Ragnarok, which used the sled. And there's a sled as the main vehicle in this game.
It's cool. Like, so Gears of War 5 did the sled before Ragnarok. Interesting.
Yes.
I actually think it's very successful.
Yeah.
And I think what's cool about Gears of War 5, it's not overly long.
Right.
Like, you have, I believe it goes linear segment, two open world segments, linear segment, game's over.
Yes.
Honestly, I kind of tip my cap to the structure. I was surprised at how good it was.
The second one is the second open world area is a little smaller than the first one.
And if I may tip my hat again, they gave me what Greg wanted, which they've taken out since Gears of War 1. Regular ammo boxes will refill almost everything you have.
Right.
So, like, I had a setup of weapons I happened to like. You know, I went sniper, I went long shot, marks up, Boltok all the time. Because
right.
I could, and the game let me.
Yeah.
And I don't know, man. Like, I kind of give a little golf clap to this game.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Yeah. No, I think they handled it very well. And I think a big part of that is they didn't go overboard. Like, the side quests.
Restraint.
The side quests you get feel, like, somewhat important to the story, and they have meaningful, like, they give you upgrades for Jack.
Yes. That's why I think the progression system is a good idea.
Yeah.
They implemented, it's like one or two side quests per world.
Yeah.
But they give you a very vital reward for Jack.
Yes.
It all works out.
Yeah. It fits together very well in that respect. And I think they, you know, I think it feels, the structure feels a little lopsided, maybe have a small linear chapter in the middle.
Yeah, it goes small, big,
because
small.
This is the only one with four acts instead of five. So it feels a little weird there. But there were a couple new weapons I wanted to bring up. The Mark III Lancer, I like it a lot.
Yeah, is that the grenade launcher Lancer?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Because it fires a lot more accurately and I think faster than the other ones. And it has, you know, I don't like the bayonet more than the chainsaw, but it is a really cool sound when it launches, like
the grenades.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's cool.
It's like scary. But that's an interesting inclusion. The cryo cannon.
Didn't use it except where I had to.
Didn't love it.
No.
There's flashbangs in this one. I didn't like this one. The claw. Did you mess around with this one? It's like a locust gun.
Oh, yeah. You know, at first I didn't like it, but what's cool is that the magazine is huge.
Oh, really?
So, like, this is a gun where the more you fire it, the more accurate it gets. And then,
that's interesting.
But if you fire it too much, it spreads again.
Okay.
So it's almost like if you shoot 8 or 10 bullets, then it tightens and you can fire off 50 or 60 rounds.
Right.
I think it could be an 100-round mag. It's really big. It's actually interesting.
Yeah, I guess maybe I didn't give it a chance, but I didn't use it much. And I think the mace. Did you mess around with this one?
Only a little.
Yeah. I think so. The only new enemies that are really there are the guy that uses the mace. I think that guy's cool.
Is it called the Sentinel? Marshal?
Warden?
Warden. Yeah.
And you know what it reminded me of? That the Doom one?
Yeah.
That guy's really tough.
Yeah.
What was his name again?
I don't remember what they're called.
Ah, jeez.
The one-on-one duel guys.
Yes.
Yeah.
It reminded me of that. I thought it was surprisingly, because I think a lot of the enemies are kind of bland in these two games.
Mm-hmm.
It was an interesting one.
We should mention, there's an important change. Big enemies have life meters.
That's true. It's very
helpful. And I actually didn't think I'd like it. I do.
Right. Oh, another small change in this game. They find, because you know how the Locust have different like drones, grenadiers, snipers, etc. The grenadiers have always been very close to the normal drones. They actually have helmets on in this one, and
yes,
their voices are like kind of roboticized.
Yep.
I loved that.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Very classic game design, kind of like Abe's Odyssey or something.
Yes,
you know? I thought that was a great addition. And I don't like the swarm infected DBs at all.
No,
I'm sorry.
I don't either. There's actually a subtle change to the gameplay that I think is cool.
Uh-huh.
The more times you get knocked down in combat, the less time you have for your allies to pick you up.
Yes.
Did you notice this?
Yeah.
It's almost like you get knocked down once, you have the full meter.
It's very fair.
Second one is half, next one is a third. It's cool. It was a good idea.
Yep. Is that it? Oh,
yeah.
The Resident Evil Zero enemies.
Oh, the slugs?
Yes.
I remember messaged me that, and I said, oh my god, the Resident Evil Zero slugs are in this game. The flying slugs, or
yes,
whatever, the slug
the
swarms. Yeah, the leeches.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of interesting. It's kind of like the Matrix when they have to pick off the crowd of you know, with machine gun fire. But it just looks stupid to me.
It does look stupid.
And they infect the robots, and it's, I don't know, it's stupid. Another thing that also, like, you're using the knife all the time now. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. I think it's interesting. They eliminated meleeing with your weapon, and whenever you hit the melee button, you take out a dedicated knife.
Yes.
I actually like that.
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah.
So I think with that said, I think the animations and stuff like that are only better.
They're amazing.
They've only improved upon what was already good in Gears of War 4. And I think what I also wanted to mention is we've kind of been up and down on the visuals of these. I think the open world landscapes are really cool to look at.
They look good.
There's basically like this huge tundra, and the other one is a big kind of blasted desert.
Yeah.
It reminded me a little bit of the last Metro game in place, because there's a train.
Yeah.
And that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Okay. So the last couple of voices here, Number one with a bullet for me, Rahul Kohli as Faz Chutani.
I think I described him as like the Andrew Tate character in
this
game. How else did I describe him? I don't remember.
He's a big thumbs up for me.
Yeah, I think he was good in this game.
He's very like full of life, but in a very specific way.
Yeah. In ways that I hate, right?
Yeah. But I mean, like, it's that, whereas a problem in the previous game was the dialogue and how bubbly everyone was. Like, you have this character who's just up and up, kind of a dick. He's just another gear.
Yeah.
But it's funny. But Oscar is replaced. Jimmy Smith's no more. We have Al Rodrigo as Oscar Diaz. What do we think?
It's fine.
You know what the problem is? Is I have a problem with the way this character was handled, where he gets kidnapped in the last game, right?
Yes.
And then the post credits is him getting spit out.
Yeah.
And then he's in this game very briefly, and it's just kind of that's it. It just doesn't feel like a very well realized.
No, they chose
character.
To go away from that character.
I don't know. Okay. What about Sarah Elmale as Lizzie Carmine?
I mean, I like the Carmines. I think they're okay.
What I find so funny about this is that she is also wearing a helmet.
Yes.
It's like they're just born that way. It's so funny.
Yeah.
It's like the whole
She plays
family.
An important role in the story.
Yeah. And last but not least, I want to... It's a very sight on scene kind of thing. We have Alana Pierce as NPCs.
I didn't really notice.
Dude, come on. We got to give her a thumbs up.
We'll give her a thumbs up. You know what? If I... They say this sometimes. If I didn't notice, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Because it didn't bother me.
No, definitely. No. I feel like I would have recognized her.
Yeah.
So, but I thought it was funny because it was the only other name I recognized on the call sheet. But want to get into story?
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
Okay. So yeah, the first act, it's pretty much going back to that island, Azura, where 3 ended. And I was a little bit like, oh no, like, dude, like get Gears 3 out of here. But I kind of respect, like, you know, even at its worst, you got to respect what the franchise has done.
Sure.
You can't ignore it. So you have to go back there to get the Hammer of Dawn set up,
yes.
I think.
Yep.
And what I think is interesting is this whole chapter is played from JD's perspective.
Yes.
And then the rest of the game is not.
Yep.
So he's, you know, who you were with for the first game. You kind of like get into his backstory a little bit here, where so you're on this mission and you get diverted to this settlement is being attacked. And it turns out they mentioned this very briefly in the previous game, but there was some kind of like incident there, like some kind of massacre.
Yep. Yes.
And this segment, they reveal that he was behind it.
Yeah, as in, so it's kind of revealed where JD and Marcus to some extent were involved in this.
Yes, or it was part of their falling out.
Yes.
Happening? And that JD made the call. And
the JDs kept this from Kate.
Yes.
So that's a big part of the plot. And Del.
Yeah. And it's I don't know. This game is good, but I have issues with this.
Well,
plot.
Actually, let me set this up a little further. The reason why Foz is sort of what's the word for this? Interpreted as an asshole is like he, what's the word for this? Foz kind of makes hint that, I mean, Foz kind of makes light at like at killing people, executing people,
yes.
not giving a shit. But then he makes mention, well, I mean, yeah, I was a part of that massacre, but you know who gave the order? JD.
Right.
Right. And then because you think JD is almost an annoyingly sweet character.
Yes.
Right. And then it's like, uh-oh.
Right.
Yep.
I liked the extra layer of dimensionality.
Yes,
at least.
Sure.
Because these characters definitely need it.
And he kind of kept it hidden.
Yeah. But there's this big, it's kind of just the way it happens is very, it's hand in hand with this basically happening again where he's ordering a Hammer of Dawn strike. And Baird is kind of the one with his hand on the switch.
Well, we should say this too. This plot point actually worked for me.
Okay.
Because JD kind of accidentally revealed that he massacred a bunch of innocent people and all his friends now hate him.
Right.
But they are escorting a convoy of innocent people and JD doesn't want it to happen again. So he wants to make use of the Hammer of Dawn so he can save innocent people.
Because yeah.
he wants to redeem himself in the light of his friends, but it ends up getting worse.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's I got that. It's just like what essentially happens here is do they reveal here that he gets injured?
No, it's
okay.
After.
Okay, so you don't know what happens.
Essentially, the Hammer of Dawn goes off. But a Lizzie Carmine gets caught in the blast and dies.
Yeah.
And you don't know what happens to JD.
The problem that I have with this is that this is this part of the game, because you know what's interesting about it is the first two Carmines die. The first one is very abrupt. Second one is kind of like gross and sad.
Yeah.
And then the third one, they kind of make fun of it.
Yeah.
Like they had actually a fan poll to determine whether he should live or die. And they voted live, so he does.
Yeah.
But they keep saying, like he gets sniped and it bounces off his helmet. He's like, son of a gun.
Yeah.
And it's really funny.
Yeah.
But at this point, it's like, this is a major character moment. Like that a Carmine is dying and it's really like it's laying on someone's conscience. It's just, I don't know. It felt tonally odd to me.
Okay.
Like in Gears of War 4, there's another Carmine and he just dies off camera.
Right.
What I mean?
Right.
But JD essentially disappears from the story at this point.
Yep.
And it picks up where so Kate is having these like
headaches
or attacks.
Prince of Persia Sands of Time visions. Yeah.
and so she and Del go off on their own to go reconnect with Oscar.
Yeah.
And what I actually love this setting is the skeleton of the Riftworm.
Yes.
From Gears of War 2.
Yep.
And they've just built like a colony there, a town there.
Yep.
I think it's a great little setting. But he's really like not much use, if I remember correctly.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
They get attacked by the Locust very quickly, And she is basically somehow psionically linked to the Locust that like kills him.
Yeah, yeah. So she like directs Locust like orders in some way. I don't really know.
Yeah,
she's like she keeps hearing psionically.
I guess
I don't know.
But she keeps hearing the queen's voice.
Nicole Atkins keeps giving her orders to kill.
So she's very traumatized. But this is another thing with this character, like what happened with him? Like,
I don't know.
He's kind of a joke and then he just dies.
I guess,
you know,
I don't know.
So whatever. What I liked about this is that they finally start digging into, I'm not 100% happy with the answer, but they finally start digging into the Locust lore a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And so they go back to that lab from the second game, and that robot guy is still there, the computer.
Yeah.
And Dr. House.
Or whatever, not Dr. House. Who are we talking about?
Mr. House,
yeah.
I don't know. I just appreciate, because what's interesting about this is that it matters more now that it's a personal story that you're getting these details versus like if you told Marcus, he probably wouldn't give a shit.
Yeah.
You know? So I think that was tasteful. I liked learning more about that. And essentially, so what it turns out to be is that they were doing like genetic experiments on miners.
Yes.
Like emulsion miners, because it was affecting them.
Yep.
And so they inadvertently I don't know how purposeful it was. They created the Locust originally.
Yeah.
Right. And so the queen was one of these children who was experimented on, who was like immune. Right. And it's all very.
That's why the queen looks human. Like,
right.
They're kind of explaining this away.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's all right. A little bit of a poor man's fear.
Yeah.
Kind of a little bit. But yeah, so eventually her granddaughter is Kate. Her daughter is Reyna, who died, air quotes, in the last game. So the queen led the Locusts into rebellion against the cog. I couldn't make heads or tails of how this wraps up with the berserker. Did you remember this part?
This is some kind of like another Prince of Persia reference, kind of like a weird Dahaka moment.
Right? Oh my God.
It kind of is.
Well, like, so you have a boss fight with a berserker and you have to freeze it and shoot it in the back.
Yeah.
But it's also like connecting or you're trying to disconnect your
mind from it. It's also like mocking you. It's really interesting.
It's interesting. I just don't understand it.
I don't know. This boss fight was all right.
Anyway, so somehow this leads to the resurrection of Reyna.
Yes.
And so the Locusts have a queen again. And you get to Act 3, which is the desert, right? And you reunite with our old friend Paddock. And I thought it was because, you know, spinoff character kind of taking the stage is kind of interesting to me. And this I felt was very, this was where I messaged you. I said, I don't think the story of this game is good when JD and Foz come back.
Yeah, or I feel like JD and Foz are now the army bros, right? But then they're like, no, we're your friends. We're going to help you.
And it's immediately resolved.
It's immediately good. They're immediately cool again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
JD, they even, there's kind of a bad, by bad, I mean, I think poorly directed moment where like JD's like, you know, we can talk about it later. You know, let's focus on the mission. They never do.
Yeah.
Like, and it's just a throwaway line when you're just riding on a vehicle.
Yeah. And they're really like buddy-buddy, like very quickly after.
I just think it's so strange how I think Foz went from like army brat, like Andrew Tate, into like, oh, we're friends.
Yeah.
It's really weird.
And you know what? He's one of the more likable characters of the crew.
Weird,
I would
right?
say,
yeah.
When it goes on. Because there's a part at one point where they're on like a train or something and he almost dies. I'm like, no, I'm like,
know.
Wait, I care about this guy. What?
Yeah, right?
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
But, no, it's very kind of just forced that they're back. Cause I guess just to get you with four guys again.
Yeah. Just to increase the enemy count. Cause you have four guys now.
Yeah, I suppose. But basically the premise of this chapter is that you have to put together this rocket, to launch a Hammer of Dawn satellite again. It's in the UIR territory. It's kind of a different palette. There's this really funny boss fight here with like an octopus thing that lives in the sand.
Yeah. It's like a dune octopus.
Yeah. And what was really interesting about this is it's when the rocket is launching, it's trying to like pull it down and stuff. I really, for a hot second, thought we were getting Gears in Space.
I wanted it.
We did.
We got it. 2008. It was Dead Space.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Shit. But no, you don't go to space. You just you blast it with fire and escape. And so now the Hammer of Dawn is back online.
Mm-hmm. Really, we should say the whole point of the game is you're trying to get the Hammer of Dawn back online by putting a satellite back in space.
Yeah.
That's kind of the point.
To stem the tide of the new Locust Horde, right? Something that it's kind of hit or miss for me is this last act where you go back to Gears of War 1.
Kind of.
And 2 a little bit. Where you go back to the old city. You go back to the tomb where you fought the Berserker. Marcus's house, all these old familiar places. I was just talking to you. I was like, I couldn't find online anywhere. I was like, I recognize these names that they said before, like New Ephyra and stuff.
Yeah,
and
it's
But I have no idea where in relation to each other they are.
Because there's no map of this world.
There's no good map that you can find online. It's weird. It doesn't feel as contiguous.
I feel like it would have been more effective if it was.
Like, oh, you're going back to...
Like, I don't know where, like, New Anvil is or whatever. Or New Ephyra. I don't fucking know.
Whereas, you know, like, Cyrodiil, I can tell you east to west, right?
Yeah.
But it is cool to see some of the old haunts again, I guess. Something that I thought was really dumb about these games is the Swarmac, the, like, diamond-headed Brumac.
Yeah.
You gotta shoot the blisters.
I don't know. It's like Legend of Zelda. Shoot the red thing. Shoot the weak point on the monster.
Yes.
Man.
And the octopus comes back. You got to do the same thing with that.
Yeah.
And
The Dune octopus.
You got to put the Hammer of Dawn up the octopus's butt.
Yeah.
And that's... Oh, and so this is like the real like interesting part is where you have to choose between which of your squad mates is going to survive, actually.
Okay. Essentially, like, Locust Queen has JD and Dell in a stranglehold.
Yeah,
they kind of give you this classic, like, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, throw the knife at someone, right?
Or save Kaden or save Ashley.
Yeah. And, I mean, who did you pick?
Oh, JD had to get the axe, man.
Me too. I did that too.
You know what it was? It's just that I was... Because Dell is like, he's annoying sometimes.
He's affable, though.
But he's affable. He went on the journey with you. And I felt like if I watched his neck break, it would be like watching like a puppy dog, you know, die.
Yeah.
So, but JD, we found out he's kind of an asshole. There's that whole business in the beginning of the game. He just disappeared for half the game. I was like, you know what? Between the two guys, get rid of the guy. But I did feel really bad for Marcus.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, oh, shit, I didn't think about
that. I almost thought there was going to be a way to not have to kill either of them, but there isn't.
So at this point, Marcus has lost both his parents, his wife, his best friend, and his son.
And so he is alone.
He is alone.
The Last of Us 3, starring Marcus Fenix.
And Kate.
And Kate.
I don't know, man. Just this whole Queen thing when she turns into like Ursula and...
Oh, that's funny.
You know?
Nice.
Like, it just... man. And Jack's sacrifice is very moving.
Yeah.
He kills himself to destroy
the... He becomes... essentially, what happens is the Hammer of Dawn beacon gets misaligned, but he becomes a Hammer of Dawn beacon.
Yes.
We love Jack.
Love
you, Jack.
The brightest stars burn out fastest, as they say.
Let's just point the sky for Jack real quick. Yeah, pour one out.
Okay, so what do you think of the ending?
It's all right. I mean, I didn't expect the kill Dell or kill JD thing.
No.
I didn't really expect that. Final boss is whatever. It's another one of these. I thought there'd be more after this. I guess this was the final boss.
Yeah.
I don't really understand the whole like link between Kate can control Locust, but then you had to fight the Dahaka and now she can't anymore. Like, I don't get it.
Yeah.
But like, it's fine.
I don't know.
Don't even talk about it anymore.
Yeah. Like they forgot.
I think I actually like this game a lot, but not that doesn't mean I like the story.
No.
Yeah.
No. Yes, of course.
Yeah.
You want to get into grades for this guy?
We might as well. I think I'm going to go B here. I really enjoyed playing this and I was consistently surprised at how much I enjoyed myself playing it. That doesn't mean I like the story, and I found myself liking this game more than 3, Judgment, and 4. Purely by just by playing it. What do you think?
Yeah, I'll go with B as well. It's a very solid experience. It's really funny how this is clearly a very high budget, very polished game, and I feel like very few people even talked about it in game circles. Like,
I actually think the marketing for this game is kind of what killed it.
You think
it feels too much like how do I put this? This game does not play like Destiny 2 at all, but it was marketed that way.
Right.
Or look at all these skins and multiplayer and upgrades and things you can buy.
We got the Terminator in it.
Right. But the actual game is good.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I think they, by calling it Gears 5 and kind of playing into the meme, I think they kind of doomed themselves a little.
Yeah.
I don't, and also a cover shooter in this day and age is, I think, is a tall order for people to enjoy it.
Yeah, I mean, but they should, because it's a good game.
But I mean, I'm saying, like, if you think about the context of games of the past 20 years, cover shooters were done to death from 06 to, like, 2016. So, like, putting out another one in that style in the modern day, I think, is a tough ask. Tricky.
It is tough, but I feel like we have, like, a litany of like, Overwatch clones.
True.
And I think more diversity in that field is always good.
Okay.
I think it's a solid game. I think it is very shaggy in a lot of places.
Yeah.
Just, you know, where a little bit more thought, a little bit more, I think they should just, you know, cut the crap with the swarm, just get the locust back in action, all your classics, all your boomers and whatnot.
Yeah. Yeah.
All those guys. I did think it was kind of interesting how, because I was thinking about it, they leave the door open, obviously, for a sixth one.
Because you don't resolve any conflict with Mira, right?
So, or the Reyna.
Reyna,
the
whatever.
And it got me thinking about how, like, Gears 4 is slightly reminiscent of Gears 1, where you have the, you know, the fabricator instead of resonator. Second one, you go get help, etc. It follows a very similar structure.
Yeah.
Gears 5 is very similar to Gears 2, where it opens up a lot more. You go back to some of the same places, the Rift Worm, the lab.
Yeah.
You have, the octopus is very similar to the big fish.
Yes.
So I'm hoping that they don't go back to Gears 3 for the next one,
but there is going to be a 6 for sure. So
there has to be, right?
I think I think it's in development. So.
I wanted to ask you basically, so number one, Cliffy B has recently put out a statement saying, and I sent this to you, that he thinks Gears is ready for a reboot in the style of 2018's God of War.
And immediately that jumped out to you and I as like a, huh? Like, what are you talking about? Because Gears 5 is in the style of 2018 God of War.
Very similar.
So did he not play it?
I think he didn't play it. Because why else would you say so? Unless he means just like, I think what he was really getting at is like, I want that kind of relevance bump that God of War got. Like, God of War had been very well forgotten by, you know, and then you started seeing it come around again. I think that's what he really means, is that he wants Gears to be like...
Yeah, but it is a weird statement to make.
It is. It's odd. But I think it's kind of interesting to hear his perspective on that. And have you read any, like, the rumors about it?
No.
So the rumors are that I think... It's just rumors, but it's that they're going to lean further into the open world direction.
I don't hate it. Do you know what my comment to you was going to be? I could stomach a little bit more drip in my Gears games, because I like this one.
I agree. I think it's,
you got to show restraint, not you, but developers.
I think it's just kind of playing with fire, where just remember that more is not always better.
What did you call it? The burden of more or whatever, or the curse of more?
The disease of more.
The disease of more.
It's very, very contagious. You have to be, because I think there are side quests in this game that are optional, but they have purpose, tangible purpose to the gameplay. And they make sense within the realm of the story. They are not burdening you with bullshit every 2 seconds.
Yep.
Endless collectibles.
Yeah, they got to be careful, but they can do it.
Just ride that line. Don't take it too far. Have some fun. And you know what? How about we call back to the tone of the first one again?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, let's get back into that sad boy shit.
Yeah. Dude, would I be wrong if I said this is a good version of Mass Effect Andromeda? Gears of War 5.
I guess. I mean, it's interesting because it's the same engine, but it looks so much better.
I know. I think they're similar games.
Well, I was going to point out something very funny. We already drew the comparisons with the Halo trilogy, right? Then they had a spinoff. Then they had a fourth one that was kind of a partial reboot. And then they had a fifth one that was a little bit longer, and it also messed with the structure of the title. So you had Halo 5 Guardians.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And so they got longer. Gears got shorter.
Yeah.
It is a really interesting looking at the two Microsoft franchises side by side to see how they were handled. Because I don't think, like, Halo is in rough shape right now. Halo went open world as well for their sixth entry.
Oh, but it sucked.
But it sucked.
Yeah.
And whereas this series is kind of in the opposite direction, where I am less positive about some of the earlier games and more positive about some of the later games.
I actually have more confidence in Gears of War doing the open world thing than Halo.
Yeah.
Because I was already shown a little bit of it and I think it's in better shape.
Yeah. I don't know, man.
I think that's where we are.
It's not like I'm like foaming at the mouth. Like, we're getting into final thoughts on the series here, right?
Yeah.
It's interesting. I'm glad I caught up with it. The 4 and 5 were a lot better than I was expecting.
Me too.
It's just, it's in a weird spot where this kind of game isn't that popular anymore, and I don't see it really making those kinds of inroads, and I don't think they should necessarily try. I think they should really focus up on the number one. They need to play that first game again and feel that vibe.
Yeah.
And say that's Gears of War. Nobody has done it since the first one.
No.
And that's the most important thing to me, like, to get me excited about Gears of War.
Yeah, make it dour and make me care.
Yep. Muted, you know, understated, a lot of that. It's just so different now.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think that's the key to success. Just have it. I don't know. Like we said, first couple games, they succeed very much on the strength of the four guys.
Yeah.
Any four characters that just have good chemistry together. They all stand out. That's the core experience. Four buddies against a very oppressive atmosphere.
Yeah.
And that's all you need.
And are we wrapped on Gears of War as a franchise?
Could you possibly rank them?
Wow. Yeah, I can. And my ranking might be kind of crazy.
Go ahead.
I think it's going to go 1, 5, 4, 2, 3.
Yeah. What about Judgment?
Last.
Last? I think I just swapped 4 and 5. I liked 4 a little more.
Yeah. So what would you go? Are you going to go 1, 4, 5, 2, 3
Judgment?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
That feels right.
It feels weird putting like the sequels made by other people near the top.
I know, but yeah. I don't know. Credit where it's due, right?
I think so.
But it's been fun.
Yeah. All right. I had fun revisiting these games for sure.
It's been a while since we've done like a little mini series like this.
So. I think we're going to wrap it for now. What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, definitely play the first game. The rest, your mileage may vary, but interesting series for sure.
Yeah. And we'll catch you next time on Goddamn GameCube. Thanks.